This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin. And these are the voices of the men of the 182nd Infantry Regiment of the Army National Guard.
My name is Staff Sergeant Jason Kopp.
I'm Corporal Terry Narcisse.
I'm Captain Michael Curry.
PFC McKittrick.
Staff Sergeant Jeff Barlow.
Grew up in Lexington, Massachusetts.
From Peabody, Massachusetts.
Coventry, Rhode Island, currently.
Anybody not from Massachusetts would call it Peabody.
These 600 or so soldiers are mostly from Massachusetts and Rhode Island. They just wrapped up a year-long deployment to Afghanistan and are now beginning the transition from soldier to civilian. Some will face unemployment and financial problems. Others will struggle with depression or post-traumatic stress disorder, and their families will face challenges as well, trying to integrate these men back into their lives. For the next year, we'll be following their stories as part of a series that we're calling Homefront. We first met the members of the 182nd about a week ago on an airport tarmac. They had just landed in the United States. The plane touched down in Indiana in the middle of the night. It was raining, but the soldiers bounding down the stairs couldn't have cared less. They were almost running, pausing, only when they realized a couple of one-star generals were standing at the bottom of the stairs, ready to welcome them back.
Welcome home.
Thank you, sir.
All the way, sir.
Good clean air, huh?
Hundreds of soldiers filed into a noisy airport hangar, their backpacks and M4 rifles in tow. Under the drone of fluorescent lights, one of the officers shouted out instructions.
If your bags where they are, you got them on the ground, secure your weapons, bring it in a little closer here.
After a briefing and gathering up their gear, the soldiers got on a bus and headed south to a military base called Camp Atterbury. The longest part of their journey was over. But they weren't home yet. Before soldiers can go home, the Army has to check them out and say it's okay.
Yes, I'm Lieutenant Colonel David Ellis.
This is the man who oversees the next chapter for these soldiers. The process is called demobilization.
This is our audiology booth, so all soldiers will receive their hearing test.
The 182nd spend the next several days standing in lines for various checkups. A lot of a soldier's life is spent waiting around, and it's no different here. Colonel Ellis walked us through the process.
This is where if you would like to get all of your shots brought up to date, I can get you stuck in about 20 different ways.
So that's the physical kind of stuff, which is fairly easy to detect and fix. The harder part is gauging a soldier's state of mind.
And let me be one of the first to welcome you back home to our great nation and say thank you for going off and swinging the bat on behalf of the freedoms and liberties that we all enjoy.
This is Colonel Tim Newsom. He's the Army officer in charge of the demobilization process here. Hundreds of soldiers have filed into a huge tent-like structure and settled into metal folding chairs. Some sip coffee from styrofoam cups. A few use empty juice bottles as spittoons. Newsom kicks off the first of 6 hours of briefings these soldiers have to absorb today. So the colonel knows he's working with a limited attention span.
But listen, something is no kidding going to slap you right across the face when you get home within the first 72 hours, and it's going to let you know that life has continued on in your absence.
He walks up and down the aisles, delivering a broad range of advice, even about relationships.
It seems that we males forget the art of kissing when we're in the pursuit of, shall we say, other end states. Okay, so it's part of the reunion process. Take the time to relearn the art of kissing because evidently they really, really do like it.
But Newsom doesn't ignore the big issues like PTSD or depression. Over the past couple years, the Army has put a heavier focus on mental health, especially in the demobilization process. Newsom says these war wounds should be treated like any other.
Somebody's got something wrong with their foot, they go see the podiatrist. No harm, no foul. Nobody says anything. It's when they got something wrong up here, that's when we want to put a stigma on somebody. Ooh, hey, did you hear about Jones? Went and saw the doctor. Yes, he did. You got to watch out for Jones.
The soldiers in the audience nod their heads. They know what he's talking about.
And don't you dare let some stigma prevent you from seeking out the treatment here.
But for many, the main objective here isn't getting help. It's getting home. Standing outside his barracks, Specialist Jonathan Remkes described demobilization this way.
You get excited about being in the United States, but then you realize you got to be here for like 5 days, and that's even more depressing. So, yeah, I'm basically checked out right now. I'm already considered a civilian, trapped in a military uniform.
But leaving Camp Atterbury requires checking a lot of boxes first.
That's it, cleared medical. All right.
Members of the 182nd work their way through a maze of assessments, filling out stacks of paperwork as they go.
Oh, you done, sir?
Wow.
Do you have any appointments to go to or anything going on? Do you? Got TBI going on?
Yep.
Okay.
This soldier was referred to a specialist for a traumatic brain injury, or TBI, and he didn't want to talk with us about it. But an injury like that could mean long-term treatment and orders not to return to combat.
We have people who do multiple deployments.
This is Lieutenant Colonel Catherine Peoples Robinson, and she handles medical screenings here at Camp Atterbury.
So we need to be able to gauge pretty well whether this person is put together enough to go back out on another deployment.
Have you had any cases where you encountered someone and you thought, no, this person can't go back again?
Absolutely. If I started to get the bubble guts is something just not right. You don't know exactly what it is. You can't put your finger on it, but you know it's not right.
The demobilization process includes a number of diagnostic tools, personal interviews, computerized tests. But determining a soldier's mental health often comes down to intuition. And if a soldier is in denial about his injury or dead set on going home early, he can game the system, essentially deceive the Army into thinking he's just fine. Or, ideally, a soldier can raise his hand and ask for help.
My name is Specialist Nestico.
His first name's John, and he's a member of the 182nd from Massachusetts. We met him on his second day at Camp Atterbury, and he was still getting over the dramatic change of scenery.
The first thing I noticed, for example, when I got off the bus at Camp Atterbury, and my first breath, I looked at the guy next to me and I go, I smell grass.
Nestico was wearing the standard issue brown camouflage fatigues and clear ballistic military glasses like he'd just come off a shooting range. Afghanistan was his second tour of duty overseas, but his first in a combat zone.
My first day in country, we went out on a mission.
He was driving with a platoon sergeant in Paktia province, trying to get the lay of the land. The officer reassured him. He said the area was safe.
And sure enough, probably less than a minute after he said this to me, we got hit.
It was an IED. No one was hurt, but Nestico was shaken.
It set a precedence, I guess you could kind of say, for the rest of the deployment. I was a little bit more weary, a little bit more cautious on things, but you just do what you have to do, you know? You do what you have to do so you can go home.
But going home comes with its own kind of stress. Like many guardsmen, Nestico had a civilian job before he deployed. He worked at Radio Shack, selling cell phones. But a lot of his friends there have moved on, and he's worried about fitting back into that world.
Here, I know these guys. We're so close, you know? I could tell you their brothers' names, you know? Tell you what you know, their family looks like. That's how, you know, good we all know each other at this point. It's like kind of like going from like a family to an environment full of strangers.
What Nestico is doing here, taking the time to think about how going home could be hard, officials at Atterbury say that's actually part of the process. The soldiers are intentionally given several hours of downtime every day to physically and mentally unwind from the last 10 months. There are a couple pool tables, a rec room where soldiers play video games, even a basketball court.
Oh, fouled all the way, man. Charge!
By this point, many members of the 182nd have been signed off to go home. Others, like Specialist John Nestico, have not. We catch up with him walking on base in between appointments.
I feel a lot better than I was even the other day when I was talking to you guys.
Nestico saw a mental health counselor, and he started working through some issues. The IED attack, his family's financial problems, and worries about life as a civilian. He could have left it at that, and a lot of soldiers do. But Nestico asked for a follow-up appointment.
For a while, admittedly, I was in a little bit of a free fall. It just took a change of environment and the ability to talk to someone who wasn't wearing a uniform to allow myself to open up a little bit, to feel like what I say here isn't going to be held in contempt or against me, but in the best interests of what's good for me.
Next time, will you?
Only 3 days after landing in Indiana, most of the members of the 182nd have made it all the way to the last station in the demobilization process, final review. Colonel Dave Ellis says soldiers in this room are at a crossroads.
you know, they have a choice of what direction they're headed. And we allow them the opportunity. We lay the roadmap out in front of them. Which road they choose is up to them. But they at least know all the pitfalls and all the challenges that they'll face. And we give them everything that we can to try to make sure that they're successful.
With that, these National Guardsmen will leave Camp Atterbury. Unlike active duty troops, they won't go back to the structure and support of a military base. They'll return to their civilian lives. For some, that will mean packing up their uniform and picking up where they left off. For others, it'll mean picking up the pieces and starting over.
Oh my God, we're so excited. It's so exciting. We're so proud and happy.
Happy to see our son come home.
Next week, the families of some of the members of the 182nd, how they've coped over the past year, and how they're planning to welcome their soldiers home. For more on our series, go to our website, npr.org. You're listening to NPR News.